Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the 10th episode of Loud and Anxious. This is Serena.
And this is Murat.
How are you, Murat?
Good. I'm good. I'm very well rested.
So should we give an update for the corona crisis that we have here in the Netherlands or not?
I think we are now 3 more weeks under lockdown, partial lockdown, I would say. I think it will be longer though.
More than 3 weeks?
Yeah, because we had a chat with my Dutch colleagues, God. And they expect to prolong it until the carnival.
Ah, okay. Yeah, but it's 1 more week, right?
Then maybe 1 more week.
Okay.
They all say that it would be much more logical to have places shut down for 1 more week until we are finished with the carnival. Mm. So that people don't drink and start licking each other, to be honest.
Yeah, to be honest, I think that they're kind of do it already, even if we are in this lockdown.
I have also that.
But I heard that there was a restaurant in the city center that decided to open and they keep it open for 2 hours. And
that
like
they closed
this.
It, yeah.
Stuff that are happening here in the Netherlands. You also know that we have like a government crisis.
Yes.
Everything is happening now. I think we will sink before the end of 2021.
I don't think so because I think now there are two months until the new election.
Mm-hmm.
So did you see the news that they will stay in the government until the election as a placeholder?
Yeah, but this is normal.
Yeah, but so there will be an election anyway. So it's not a huge crisis in my opinion.
Oh, it was like a natural end of the government. You mean? I don't know. I'm not following.
Yeah, I think in May or in March there will be an election.
Okay.
So the government would end it anyways. But of course, it's a scandal.
Okay.
They say.
Yeah, I heard it exactly what it is from my Italian news, and I was quite surprised. Well, from one side, I was surprised that it took so long to show it.
Mm-hmm.
From the other side, I do expect that. Okay, my level of trust in the Netherlands is really low. I mean. I know that for administrative stuff, from one side that you have like everything on internet is very easy. Some processes are really efficient.
Mm-hmm.
From the other side, if you start to put humans,
mm-hmm.
some people are so stupid and they make mistake that they are so stupid for their job that they are doing like every day.
Mm-hmm.
That I'm always check everything 2 or 3 times with 2 or 3 different people.
Yeah.
Because it happened to me and it happened also to other friends that because these people in the government or in other administrative offices
mm-hmm.
made a mistake, consequences were given to private people, like let's say the one that they started this process,
mm-hmm.
which is completely unfair. And I don't understand why it doesn't exist something like this here, that if you screw it up as an office, as government, you have to pay also.
Yeah.
But yeah. Every country has its own weaknesses and its own strengths. So, I mean, I can complain, but in Italy it's much worse. So
yeah, so in Turkey also, at least here you can do something, even if sometimes it's wrong with a 30% reliability, but you do something. In Turkey, if you don't know anyone, you don't do anything. You won't be able to do.
It's generally unfair, let's say. Well, yeah, we're in this gloomy January in lockdown, waiting for better times. And
very cold also outside.
Yeah, but for me it's not so terrible, but yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when you spend all the time at home, when you go out, you feel it much more.
Yeah. And how are you?
I'm fine. I actually finally officially bought my apartment, bought an apartment, so I'm super excited and can't wait to move there. I cannot even sleep during the night because a certain moment I wake up and I realize that I'm thinking about what to do to decorate my rooms and stuff, which is kind of ridiculous, but I don't know, my brain is just doing by itself. But I know that there will be busy days between work and the apartment, but as we are in lockdown, there's not so much to do. So I think
you have the time.
Yeah, it's a good thing, to be honest. So I'm quite satisfied.
Yeah, nice to hear that. Nice to hear that. So for our topic in this episode,
yes.
It will be a biography of a quite violent and interesting persona in metal scene.
Yes. So when we had to pick up some interesting metal musician so that you wanted to stop me. Okay.
No.
when we start to brainstorm about which metal musician we should talk about in our podcast, I start to think about Natram.
Mm-hmm.
That is, let's say, the main figure of the Silencer band. The reason is that behind this guy, there are so many stories, so many rumors, mm-hmm. that they're really something that can interest not only our listeners, but a lot to me, which I'm like a gossip person, as I said it more and more times in the podcast itself. And so who is Natram? Natram is a black metal musician. Mm-hmm. As you probably heard in the past episode, I like black metal. I'm not a huge fan. I'm not a huge expert, but I know something, and I like to listen from time to time. I like mm-hmm. to go also to concert. And even if it's Swedish, I don't know. I assign him to, let's say, the true Norwegian black metal scene from the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
That everyone from this scene, it was kind of a mystery. Like, there's stories related to them. Some are true, some are false. Mm-hmm. But everything is really like
it's like foggy, mystical environment, yeah. Right?
There's also mm-hmm. like spiritual stuff going mm-hmm. on. They're Satanists. They're not Satanists. They believe in something. I don't know. There's like a lot of story from all mm-hmm. of them. Differently from the main figure of this scene, like Burzum, you know, Euronymous mm-hmm. and so on, we don't really know a lot about Natram. So we know some stories, but we don't know basically. So anything, it was actually, how can I say, verified.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't know anything about him, even mm-hmm. if there's so many things about him on the internet, for example.
So let me ask a question. Do you think because of those pictures, etc., of him, it is a fan created mystery around him, or do you think that he is a real psychopath?
I think that he didn't show himself a lot. He didn't give interviews in his life, or it didn't. You cannot find it in social media. If you find like a profile, probably is a fake one.
Mm-hmm.
So he keep himself really anonymous, and mm-hmm. this is just make people like me came out with the assumption also. And exactly. Uh-huh. So that's why it became like this.
And one more question before you get into details: is he still alive?
Yeah. Good question.
No one knows.
No one knows. So mm-hmm. if we start from the beginning of his life.
Okay, let's start. Mm-hmm.
We don't know exactly Natram when he was born. Mm-hmm. The idea is between 1975 and 1977.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't really know if his real name is confirmed. So the biggest rumor is that his name is Mikael Nilsson.
Mm-hmm.
And is from Sweden. Well, at least we know that he's from Sweden, is confirmed, but it's the only thing.
Mm-hmm.
Then he joins Silencer, the band that make him famous in 1995. This band was already created by another musician, but he became the main figure, like the most interesting one.
Mm-hmm. And if we have to give some information about Silencer, I see that it's a depressive or suicidal metal.
Yeah.
So it's a subgenre of black metal, or how would
exactly.
you define it?
Yeah, exactly. Is defined suicidal or depressive black metal.
Mm-hmm.
Other similar artists are, for example, like Xastur or Leviathan. It's kind of a sub-genre, as you said.
Mm-hmm.
And there's not a big production about them. Mm-hmm. There's actually only a demo and the album called Death Pierce Me.
Mm-hmm.
And the band, as I said before, never released interviews, never did live concert, which is normal for this kind of scene. Not this kind, this scene. Like a lot of musicians, actually, they just release albums, but they never play live. Also, is this is my assumption, but is related to the type of people that play this kind of music. They are they try to stay outside of the society. They stay like in their places. I think that in one of the documentary that I've seen related to this genre, there was one of the musicians that said that he has problem to stay with a lot of people in one room, so he will never play live. So yeah, they only have one album. And the only thing that we know also there, even if we never see them live and so on, is that the project stopped in 2001. The reason why it stopped is because Natram itself, also here the stories are a little bit different, but one of the rumor is that Natram itself went to a psychiatric hospital in Sweden because he had breakdowns. He just went there and said that he has psychological problems and he asked to be picked up. There are other stories that actually said that the family pushed him to go. So also there we don't really know which is the truth, but everyone agrees that he was insane. So he had like mental problems. Also, we don't know exactly which mental problem he has or he had. And during the period in the asylum, there's also this rumor that he was
recorded an album, I guess.
Exactly. So he was able to have a keyboard, and thanks to this, he was he produced this album called Transformation under the moniker of Diagnose Lebensgefahr.
And is it in German?
Maybe it's also Swedish, you know, they have the same roots. I cannot tell you. That was dark ambient, and also this is quite standard for the people in this scene. If you think about also Burzum, after playing black metal, he went to produce like dark ambient, or Mortis itself. Mortis started as a black metalhead or like metal musician, but then he switched to a more dark ambient music. Okay, then it depends on the era, of course, but you see that there's a pattern. Like it's really like, I don't know, the certain from a certain point of view, you see really an archetype of black metalhead, guys, you know.
I'm very interested in a rumor about 2001. So one of the rumors is that he went to a mental hospital. The other one is that he tried to kill a little girl.
Yeah, so what they said is that at a certain moment in 2001, he escaped from the asylum and leaving a letter in which he said that he was tired to live and he wanted to kill a girl. And that they had to stop it, otherwise it would have made the murder, and then he actually did it. So he was trying to kill a 5 years old girl or girls, also there is not really clear, with an axe, but luckily he failed. So he actually hit the girl with the axe, but he did it in the way that it did not manage to damage the brain, which, to be honest, I'm thinking how he could do it, but I don't know, maybe it was like diagonal and so on. And then it was stopped by police before he actually could finish this murder. Someone else said that it was not him, it was actually his brother. I think the name is Frederick, I'm not sure. And this rumor said that basically the brother that was in the asylum with him, very strange by the way, but okay,
which had schizophrenia, I guess. The brother was diagnosed schizophrenia.
Yes. Escape, as I said, he tried to kill the girl, and then when he was picked up and bring back to the asylum, he got suicide because he thought, I mean, he realized what he had done. Also there, no one confirmed. The only thing that they found as evidence is an article from a Swedish website / magazine. Mm-hmm. But it looked like, one of these magazines that talks about aliens, that they're hidden in a farm in Ohio and stuff like this. So I don't know if we can actually trust it.
Mm-hmm.
There's this story
mm-hmm.
about him. Question is he still in the asylum or he went out? Also, there we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I found a forum in which they stated that this guy went out from the asylum and now he lives in the middle of nowhere in Sweden,
mm-hmm.
but it's not confirmed.
No.
And there's also other rumors that is quite interesting. So the most famous one is that before was put into the psychiatric hospital, Natram had this urge, this desire to cut his
hands
and also feet, I think,
uh-huh.
And replace it with pig's feet.
Mm-hmm.
And there were even people confirmed that he actually did it,
mm-hmm.
which is quite fun because I guess that if you cut your hands and your feet, then you die because you just lose too much blood.
Bleeding out, yeah.
And mm-hmm. You put these pig hands and then what do you do? I mean, for me, it's kind of strange.
Mm-hmm.
But you can see, for example, some of the pictures of him. With these pigs ends put on top of their ends that they're covered by gloves
white
or
sheet, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Which is kind of how can I say
it looks fake.
Yeah,
because
it's fake.
The forearm is very long.
Yeah.
So it's very obvious that he's holding the pig things with his hands.
Yeah, but the picture itself, I don't know, for me I feel really uncomfortable.
It's very disturbing, I would
yeah,
say.
It's yeah, it's very disturbing because it's covering blood, he covers his face. Yeah, we don't have picture in which we can actually see the face of mm-hmm. Natram. And he has these pig's ends.
Mm-hmm.
No one knows why he had this interest for pigs, to be honest, but he was like this. And also another rumor that, of course, we don't know if it's mm-hmm. true or not, is that in order to record the vocals of the album with Silencer, that they made with Silencer, he started to cut himself, so mm-hmm. his screams were more natural and more at a certain pitch.
Because of the pain, so it's a natural scream, they say. Okay.
Exactly. I checked some forums and they said that it's not possible because mm-hmm. if you see the pictures, it doesn't have any scars.
Mm-hmm.
But
did you listen to the album?
I think so, in the past.
Mm-hmm.
To be honest, you don't need to be damaged, let's say, in order to reach to do these
pitches.
Screams.
Uh-huh.
So there are like really high-pitched screams.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, also Danny Filth, maybe in another style, but also Danny Filth is able to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't cut himself, at least when he does live concerts. So I guess it's possible. But this is mm-hmm. another story, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And there's a further allegiance.
Yes.
It's an English word, yeah. About this guy. So
mm-hmm.
basically, so there's this forum. No, it's a forum. It's a website / forum that is called Umani Animali Liberati,
which means.
Humans, animal,
liberation.
Yeah, liberation. Correct.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you speak Italian better
Latin,
than me.
Yeah.
You understand. I went to this website, and there's like a news tab, let's say, a news page,
mm-hmm.
and there's this guy that writes about Natram and another person, because apparently this is a new project by this metal duo,
mm-hmm.
and he mentioned trial that was done in 2001.
Mm-hmm.
I was curious because in this message is written that Natram was listened as a witness or slash you know, the person that actually does the commit the crime. I don't know how to say it in English.
Criminal.
Regarding a certain
culprit.
Okay. I don't know this word, but as a regarding to a murder that was made in Linköping in and the same here. Did I say 2001 because it was 2004. And it's written that he was listened. They he testified and he gave his DNA, and this the DNA didn't match with the DNA of the I think it was like a knife. So he could go free. And the last quote of this message was like, "Yeah, you're trying to frame him, but it didn't work." We don't know to who is this addressed. Message. Is addressed. But then I check the murder. No, so basically there was this guy that has a age match with Natram, that one day in Sweden he killed a 8-year-old boy and
a woman.
Just stab them to death. It was not him. I don't know why.
But there was a criminal, the double Swiss criminal.
I don't know why. Okay.
For me, I was thinking if this was a like a PR experiment. Do you remember when your research? When was the last publicated news about him?
Oh, I think it was around 2000. I don't think I found something from these ages. So it's
In those forums also, there are nothing asked or discussed then about.
No, they all discuss about the stories that I tell you. They're still trying to figure it out. It's like QAnon, not QAnon. So basically, you have this thing that it looks like real, but it's not real, and you continue to try to understand or find evidence that is real, because you want that they will be real, you know, kind of, because it's like something really strange. I don't. I have this feeling if I read this forum, you know.
Well, for me, it can be anything. It can be also one of those black metal artists' side project. To see what it happens if he do something as shocking and then putting some kinds of rumors around the internet. And back then, I think in the early 2000s, it was very common to use those forums, etc., to speculate about things that actually we didn't know it existed. We were not so, the internet wasn't so wide, so you couldn't really reach anything. And he's from an era that you don't have any videos, right? He doesn't have any footage, just 5 or 6 pictures, and none of them we see the face. It seems to me it's possible that he's a real disturbed guy. That's also very possible. But also it can really it would be a nice project to see how to create a persona in internet, a sociology project.
I don't know. My impression is that generally this guy didn't want to share too many information. It was also more difficult in the 2000. I don't think that Facebook was there, to be honest.
No, I think it's established in 2004 or something.
Yeah,
like
so four or six. Yeah, the reason that maybe all these rumors and discussions started was that this guy released the pictures, or he also wrote a book, by the way, in which there are poems that are extremely dark and depressive. Maybe because of these things, they start to be interested, and then people start to talk and say, "Oh, I heard this, I heard that," but I don't have the feeling that he made it as a
project.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
It was himself. I see. No, it's possible, but the thing is that the rumors seems like created by people outside him.
Yeah, this
is
true.
So people put some things to that thought that they can have attachments with him.
Yeah.
Because really we have very, very limited material about him. So some lyrics, poems, and 5 pictures or so.
Yeah, yeah. And then there are comments of people that said that they meet him. Yeah, but then just tell me which is his name, because yeah. it's not really confirmed, you know. So it's really strange. It's like, I don't know.
I'm also a bit, I'm wondering, he had some bandmates.
Yeah.
I don't know why those guys were not asked questions about this guy.
It's interesting. I don't know, maybe they're dead. I didn't check, to be honest, because no one cares about the other two, probably. But yeah, I don't know. It's one of the legend of black metal, you know. I think this is one of the reason why black metal is interesting, because it's there are so many stories and rumors and stuff, and you know, it's connected to the imaginary, as we said, you know, with the spiritual imaginary of black metal, much more than other genres, so subgenre.
Yeah, but black metal is very strongly related to Satanism, right? That maybe not, it's not only like this, but in outside world, when they see black metal, they directly says that those guys are Satanists.
But in general, also there's a lot of Celtic spiritualism. Let's say connected to black metal or animism. So I found it fascinating. I also see that it's little by little dying. But during the 90s, when it was born, the best in the gold era, it was quite interesting and scary also, because people were taking it so seriously that then they were committing really huge things, like rituals and you know, we all know the story of burning churches and stuff.
That didn't help for the Satanism things that they assigned to. I was also thinking that I think those guys generally they are somehow deranged or disturbed people.
Yeah.
So they have some traumas, because you also, when you checked, you also saw that there was a pattern, right? The front man, the most shocking people, they all have some childhood traumas, or they have some kind of a deep buried depression or something.
Yeah, I read about Varg Vigersen. They said that his mom was abusing him. Xastur, not damage itself. How do you say it? Not mutilate. How do you say it when he cuts?
Masochism.
Yeah, no, it's another word, but I cannot find it in English. Then there's Leviathan that lost his wife due to, I think, cancer or leukemia, and I think that he was quite hit by this, and there were some issues with the second partner. She affirmed that he did violence to her. So there are quite stories. It's a pattern, yes. I don't want to say that everyone that does depressive black metal he has mental problems. I think that the most the famous one, they also got famous because they have all this aura of psychological damage around them.
I think they got famous because their pain or their agony or their anger was genuine. So they had those traumas, that's why they were they had this aura, I would say. So it was very real for them. I think they would not expect that this genre was picked up by so many people. So anyone who decided that they were a little bit depressed, they were going to those concerts, burning churches down, etc.
I think it was more people that are frustrated than depressed.
Yeah.
Because it's such a aggressive environment, or kind of, at least from a world point of view, is so aggressive and violent that if you feel frustrated, then maybe you can release your frustration, like hitting people. It's different than, for example, hardcore. You go there and you smash everyone, just you know, dancing or like moshing and whatever. The atmosphere in black metal is different. Like there's a lot of theatrical action. If you think about the concert,
the body paints,
and then some of, like for example, Maniac used to cut himself during concert. So people are passive, but I think that only like only because they are looking at someone that make violence on its himself or on other people, you kind of release this negative energy that you have. So it's a kind of catharsis, maybe. I don't know.
Maybe.
But now you don't see it anymore. The more we go further, or either they are not allowed to do such such concerts, but also people, they I don't think that they're used to, or they want to see it anymore.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It depends on the generation, what was happening. I actually read some time ago an article about why black metal became so important in Norwegian society. So why it was picked up by Norwegian teenagers, let's say. And what I saw is that they were in such repressive culture that they need to like take their energy and like fight against the society in a very aggressive way. And that's why they started to approach black metal.
I think now violence is much more reachable.
Yeah.
That's why they don't need to go to see those acts.
I think that now if they want to do something extreme, they have something else.
Yeah. They can do whatever they want, and they can find whatever they want in the internet.
Yeah, but also because black metal as the old genre, they're so commercialized. They're so commercial right now that you don't have the same feeling that you could have had during the 90s.
Yeah, like a small elitist club.
Yeah, exactly.
With lots of pain and anger. Now it's for everyone, right?
Yeah, now it's like...
It's not exclusive anymore.
Exactly. Maybe it's kind of cool, or like you have 12 years old girls that they put, you know, white stuff on the face.
Paints,
etc. And then, yeah, they listen to, I don't know, my Dying Bride, some metalcore band that I don't know. And then, yeah, it kind of destroyed the general idea that you have of black metal.
Yeah, I agree.
But then, yeah, I think he's a very interesting figure, let's say.
In that scene, there are lots of interesting figures.
True.
It's for me, the most interesting thing about it is that I think no one is sure that it was a real disturbed guy, or it was just a story that was made with some materials, let's say.
Yeah, I just hope that we will have a new story about him soon.
I really doubt.
Well, if he was born in the 70s, right now he should be like around 45. 40 something. Yeah, so I don't know. Maybe
He's alive.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Most probably these people don't last really long.
Due
to
drug usage, alcohol,
in general.
Those general body cutting. Suicidal tendencies.
Yeah, exactly. You never know. I mean, for sure, I don't expect that now he has like a nice family and there is doing normal stuff
with
in Sweden.
Like three blonde girls.
Yeah, with
very
blonde
nice
hair.
Blonde
yeah,
hair,
exactly.
Yeah, well, thanks for the topic. It was an interesting person.
You're welcome.
For me, I would never listen to him probably.
Yeah,
but
okay.
Yeah, well, we learn some things, about the scene, and also it was nice to discuss the black metal scene a little bit.
Okay, then I hope that also our listener like this story. Please let us know via email or in comments if you like it or not. And speak to you soon for the next week.
Yeah.
Bye.